We'll be reading from verses 21 through 34 of Mark chapter. As you are able, I ask that you rise for the reading of God. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away." He said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops of it by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Then he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up, and it becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Thus far the reading. Every year, the farmer sows his seed in the field. He plows the field, he disks the field, he cultivates the field, and then he distributes the seeds into the soil. And then he waits till he is able to harvest a crop. He does nothing to make the seeds grow. Oh, he might spray this for weeds. He might pull the weeds. He might hoe between the rows to encourage the growth of the plant. But once the farmer has sown the seed in the soil, he does nothing to cause it to grow. He knows that the soil is dependent upon the sun, upon the heat, and upon the moisture. He knows that if there is no rain, there will be no crop. If there is too much heat, there will be no crop. If it is too cold, there will be no crop. The farmer has no idea how the seeds or the plants grow, but he knows that they will. And so every year, he plants in the hope of a crop that is to come. Have you ever thought about the church in this way? Have you ever wondered, how does the church grow? What would your answer be to that question? How would the church grow? What should be done in order to cause the church to grow? Is it programs, classes, and entertainment, attractive banners, car rallies on Sunday afternoon in order to bring people onto the church grounds with those, what do they call them, those jumpy things where kids like to, those bouncy castles where kids like to go in? Does that grow the church? How does the church grow? Do you know the answer? In our text today, you will see that it is God who grows the church by his Holy Spirit, according to his divine purposes, regardless of whether you or I understand how the church is grown. We're working our way through the Gospel of Mark, and we're in that section of parables that Jesus is giving. Mark opens up to us, he kind of takes the lid off of the bucket, as it were, and allows us to peer into the teaching of the Lord Jesus prior to chapter 4. You hear a lot about Jesus going around Galilee, and he's proclaiming the gospel. He's preaching concerning the kingdom of God, and you know, his opening message is, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And Mark opens up the teaching of Jesus. And what do you see in the teaching of Jesus? You see parables. These are hidden, or truths that are hidden from the unspiritual, These are teachings concerning the Scripture that are presented in such a way that those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, or who do not believe in Him, or who do not know God, do not understand what is being said. We read in verse 12 that Jesus proclaims the parables so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And yet Jesus explains everything to His disciples, everything to those who follow Him, to those who are willing to sit under His teaching and to hear what He has to say. And we saw that He had that parable of the soils. The soil of the seeds planted on the hard path did not sprout, and Satan came like the birds of the air came and snatched away the seed of the word of the gospel. You have the parable, or you have the seeds that fall on the rocky ground, who grow up quickly, but because there's no moisture and it becomes too hot, they wither away and produce no fruit. You have the seed that falls on the thorny ground, which is the seed that is choked away by the cares of this world, the pressures of life that come upon them, and seed too does not have the soil. The word of God falls on the good soil. It blossoms and it begins to produce fruit. Some of the fruit 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And Jesus continues and He speaks about the lamp that is brought under a basket. And He points you to the fact that the gospel has been hidden for generations, has been hidden since man fell into sin. But Jesus has come to take that light that was hid under the basket, that was placed under the bed, and to set it on a lampstand. For Jesus indeed is the light of the world. He has come to proclaim the good news of salvation to God's people. And so He is the gospel set, that light set, so that all can know the gospel, can know the way to salvation. And then we have our text this morning where Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God. I will show you by God's grace that although men do not understand how God's kingdom grows, yet God continues to grow it to maturity. Although men do not understand how God's kingdom grows, God causes it to grow to maturity. You will see the mysterious growth of the kingdom of God, the certain growth of the kingdom of God, and the growth of the kingdom of God to maturity. Jesus begins this parable by saying, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Jesus wants you to focus on this kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the rule that God establishes in the heart and in the lives of His people. It is His kingdom to be ruled upon the earth. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God rules through the church. God rules through the elders and the deacons and the leaders of the church. But the kind of rule that He gives to them is a ministerial rule. It is a declarative rule. It is not a magisterial rule. And by magisterial, I mean kingly rule. The kind of rule where you have a king proclaim to somebody, "Do this." Why? Because I've said so. You see, the rule of the church is a rule that God has given to declare the word of God. That God rules through His word, through the church. And as you and I worship God together, this is an exercise of God's rule. For the only head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants you to understand what exactly is this kingdom of God. You see, Jesus was walking throughout the Galilee and ministering and teaching, and the people were absolutely stunned. They were amazed at what they were hearing come out of the mouth of Jesus. They even said that, "Who is this? He teaches as one having authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees, our religious leaders." And there again, you have exactly the difference between the ministerial rule of Christ in the church and the magisterial rule of Christ in the church. For the scribes, they had put together all sorts of laws and requirements in addition and to explain the Old Testament commandments. And if you did not follow these laws, then you were not obeying God and keeping God's commandment, and you weren't holy, and you weren't righteous, and you weren't wise. I was reading this morning in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was invited into the house of a Pharisee. And Jesus came in, and he sat down, and he began to eat. And the Pharisee said to him, how can you do this? How can you sit down and begin to eat without having washed your hands ceremonially like we do? And Jesus says, do you not know that God, that the potter makes both the inside and the outside of the cup? God has made both the inside and the outside of the person. And it's not, you wash the outside of the cup, but the inside is filthy and dirty. And Jesus is saying, that is exactly the type of kingdom that you are ruling over. You are declaring you must do A, B, C, D, E, and F if you want to enter into heaven. But that's not how you enter into heaven. You don't do these things in order to earn salvation, in order to please God. But you do these things, these sorts of things, out of thankfulness for what God has worked first. See, we are not antinomian. That is, we do not believe that you just sort of live and you can live however you want, because in the end, God's going to save you anyway. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he says, my commandments are not a burden. Take my yoke upon me, for my yoke is light and my burden is easy. That's the gospel message, that you do not have to bear the burdens alone. And this is the kingdom that Christ has come to establish. He has come to establish a kingdom in which he is the head, in which he bears you up and carries you through. And Jesus, in this parable, uses a simile. He says, the kingdom of God is like, or is as if a man scattered seed on the soil. Now, we've discussed this, and we've described, you know, the process of planting seeds, but once again, it's good to have that picture in your mind of the farmer, particularly in those days before they had corn planters and wheat planters and 200 horse tractors to pull massive amounts of seed around the field and put them in nice, neat little rows. You had men with bags on their sides walking up and down the field, hand in, spraying out the seed, hand in, spraying out the seed. Jesus says, "It is the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." And that word there that's used for scatter is to describe the indiscriminate casting or throwing with force. It's not the usual term that you might think for planting seeds. If you have a garden, and I suspect if you have one and it's not that big, you would walk up and down the rows, you'd take a little shovel, you would open the dirt and you stick one seed in. You'd move a few inches over, you'd stick another seed in, and so on and so forth. And you would be sowing the seed. Well, here he says he just scatters the seed. It's just being cast indiscriminately over the land. And so this is what the farmer does. He just throws the seed on the ground. Seems kind of a waste, doesn't it? Just to take something that throw it on the ground. But that's what the farmer does. And then he says, and should sleep by night and rise by day. The farmer sows the seed and he goes to bed. And he wakes up. He goes to bed. He wakes up. And there's the seed lying on the ground. But something begins to happen. The seed germinates. It begins to sprout, and it pokes its little head through the soil, and you get that little green sheen across the field as it grows, and it becomes a carpet of green, and then a sea of green as the plants grow to maturity. And what does the farmer do? He goes to bed. He wakes up in the morning, goes to bed, wakes up. He has no idea what's happening. He's just very thankful and happy that the seed is growing. And he just watches that seed grow. It sprouts, it grows, and we're told he does not know how. That is the mysterious growth of the kingdom. You see, God works in his church in a very similar way. That God grows his church in spite of those that are part of it. In spite of the preacher as he preaches. In spite of those that listen in the midst of it. And in spite of those that look at the church and say, what an ancient institution that might be. See, the church is not your church. It's not my church. The church is the kingdom of God. And God grows. He uses the weakness of men to plant the seed of the word. He causes that word to grow in the hearts and in the lives of all who hear. And those who refuse to hear will not bear fruit. But it has nothing to do with the preacher. It has nothing to do with the Christian. It has nothing to do with you or with me. It has everything to do with God and his eternal purposes. And God grows his church. And then we think of our sister congregation of Caney. And we wonder why. God planted this church so many years ago. It grew and it flourished. God is working these things out according to his eternal purposes, brothers and sisters. Might not have been my plan. It might not have been your plan. You might not understand it. I don't. This is how God grows. God grows his church through the faithful proclamation of his word. And as you sit and as you hear the word of God, our catechisms remind us that you have a duty to investigate the word, to make sure that that word is clearly taught as being from the scripture and is not that of the minister itself. But at the same time, you have a responsibility to submit to that word of God. That in as far as that word is proclaimed as faithful, it is Christ himself who is speaking to you in spite of how it's being spoken. Confess in our shorter catechism, how is the word of God to be read and heard that it might become effectual to salvation? That the word of God might become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer. That means when you come into the service that you are not discussing all sorts of things that have happened in the week, but you are giving yourself to diligent preparation. You are meditating on the word of God. You are praying that the word might be faithfully proclaimed, that God might open your ears and your eyes so that you might understand the word and that the church will grow. You are to attend with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Receive it with faith and love. You are to lay it up in your hearts. Not just hear it in your head. Lay it up in your hearts. And practice it in your lives. Brothers and sisters, if I proclaim the word of God and I do so faithfully, and it makes no difference, and it does not change you, then it will not grow. And you will not bear against our understanding. It has every heart. God, pray that God will grow this church. That God will make you more of what he wants you. Hear the word of God. If all you are doing is being critical, then you are not hearing the word of God. And you must submit to that word as it is faith. Through that, God will be glorified. God will build his church. Although men do not understand how God's kingdom grows, yet God causes it to grow to maturity. You see the mysterious growth of the church, but I want you to see this as well, that the growth of the church is certain. You see, he describes that image. He says that the seed sprouts and grows. The earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. The word of God will be effective. Remember what Isaiah says when he says that the word of God will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish what it was set forth to accomplish. You see, whenever the gospel is proclaimed, it will impact. There are two kinds of impact that will come upon you. Either you will receive the word with gladness and be changed, or your heart will be hardened to the truth and you will be further entrenched in your rebellion. But the seed, the word of God, does. See, God grows his kingdom, but he also grows it slowly. Sometimes there's great growth, and we hear of churches growing in foreign countries, and we hear of the explosion of the church in those countries because of the mission work that's there. Where in our own land, we cast our eyes with despair around us, and we see the empty churches, and the churches that are full of people but are empty of the truth of God. And we wonder, how is it that God will grow his church in the midst of a society? God will grow his church, and he will grow you to maturity. At times it may seem like there is no growth. At times there may be a paucity of water so that you begin to feel like that you're withering spiritually and you're beginning to fade and fall away, and you begin to wonder, am I ever going to produce any fruit? And then the water of the gospel comes upon you and you receive it and you begin to flourish and grow again. That's what I feel like every Sunday when I come to worship with God, to hear his word proclaimed, that I'm being fed by the gospel, that God is pouring the water of his love upon me, upon my heart, that I may know him better. Is that true of you as well? God will bring his people to maturity. But you must grow. You must be willing to listen to the word of God. You must read it. You must study it. You must sit under the proclamation of your word of God. You must submit to the commands of God, to its duties and its requirements, recognizing that submitting, doing those duties and requirements does not save you. You must be willing to believe the word of God, to receive and rest upon Christ alone for your salvation. And all of this is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Though God opens some churches and closes others, causes some to grow and others to shrink, God continues. Do you believe that God will grow our congregation? I believe that he will. But you must be faithful. Faithful to the word of God. Faithful in your duties towards him. Always casting yourself. Certain growth of the kingdom of God. But the growth of the kingdom of God is also towards maturity. Although men don't understand how God's kingdom grows, yet God causes it to grow to maturity. You see, the farmer, after going to bed and waking up, going to bed and waking up, going to bed and waking up, day after day, week after week, month after month, finally he looks over the fields and he sees that the field is ripe for the harvest. The heads are full of grain, and it's a beautiful color. And what does he do? Take pictures of it? Walk through the fields and say, I can't believe that these fields are ripe. Isn't this wonderful? No. What does he do to that field? He takes the sickle and he chops the grain down. And he gathers that grain into bundles. And he takes it to the threshing floor, and he throws it on the threshing floor, and he begins to beat the grain so that the grain comes out of the head and the chaff is separated from the grain. And he takes the remnants and he uses it for bedding or whatever he does, and he takes the grain and he puts it into the baskets and he brings it into the storehouses so that they might have some. God brings his church to maturity. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. The spiritual reality, brothers and sisters, is that the word of God that is planted in your heart will grow to maturity, whether you recognize it or not. It will change you. It has to change. When you have been brought to maturity, the heart, all his, that last day, he will gather in those whom he has called from the four corners of the earth, gather them in like the farmer gathers in the grain, and bring them unto himself, that you might be with him in glory. I know you struggle with your sin. But the question is how? Where do you look for your strength? Where do you look for maturity? Where do you look? Help type books. The most interesting communicator, chapter of whatever club. Where do you turn? Midst of turn. For he is the one who will be the great harvester, who when he returns at that last day, come, gather to himself. That's the hope of the Christian. That's what enables you and strengthens you and helps you to get through yet another day of pain, yet another day of guilt, yet another day of hope, yet another day of struggle. Because you walk with your Savior beside you, who holds you up and strengthens you. And though you are not yet perfect, the Spirit is already at work in you. Conforming. Is he doing that in your heart? But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you also will be gathered on that last day. And like the grain, you will be harvested and you'll be cut down. But you will not be brought into the storehouse. You'll be cast into the furnace to be destroyed. Yet all of the gospel, repent and believe. Stop self. Stop trusting in your own. Stop trusting.